encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory that gives us the power to overcome the world. Hebrews 11, in chapter, in verse number 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things, what? Not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. How many of you know that the Lord wants to get a good report from you? God wants to get a good report or give a good report on you. I believe this year, as we press our way through 2024, God is seeking to stretch our faith. He's going to cause our faith to increase. He's going to call for your faith to increase as you trust Him, to believe that the Lord is calling us together on this great journey of faith. If you would like to have a good report from the Lord, you must become a student of His word. You must be a disciple in order to get a good report from the Lord. The word disciple means one who is a learner of Jesus Christ, one who is a follower of Jesus Christ. One day we are all going to get a spiritual report card. It would tell you how well you did in applying faith in every subject matter of life as we seek to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission. In order to get a good report card, we must understand that we must have Christ as the express object of our faith. So what kind of faith, I ask, do you have? What kind of faith do you have? Some people have a vain faith. They are religious and they think that their good works and deceitful words will save them. James says in chapter 1 and verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Some people have a dead faith. He says faith without works is dead in chapter 2 and verse 17. Some people have a demonic faith. The devils believe and tremble. They know Jesus is Lord, but they refuse to serve and submit to His will. What kind of faith do you have? Some people have saving faith, and this is the faith that I'm hoping that all of us would have, where Christ is the object of our faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13 helps unfold what it means to have saving faith. For it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, not might be, not could be, not would be, but it says you shall be what? Saved. Vain faith, dead faith, demonic faith, saving faith. Saving faith includes a serving and a sanctifying faith that is unshakable and unbreakable, and it abides forever, because that kind of faith has God as its object. It is everlasting because God is everlasting. The difference between each of these types of faith can be summarized. What is said to be an if faith versus a though faith. You say, what do you mean by that? On November the 5th, 1967, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. preached a message at Ebenezer Baptist Church entitled, "But If Not." Maybe some of you have heard that sermon before. And in that message, he introduced the thought of if faith versus though faith. He was speaking in regard to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is what he said. You see, there is what you may call an if faith, and there is a though faith. And the permanent faith, the lasting and the powerful faith, is the though faith. Now, the if faith says, if all goes well, if life is hopeful, prosperous, and happy, if I don't have to go to jail, if I don't have to face the agonies and burdens of life, if I'm not ever called bad names because of taking a stand that I feel that I must take, if none of these things happen, then I'll have faith in God. Then I'll be all right, he says. This morning, as many of you will reflect on the legacy of Dr. King and his work, I would like to lift out of and expound on the topic of how to change if faith to a though faith. How to change if faith to a though faith. The first way that we can do this is to note that the if faith is a conditional faith. A conditional faith. If faith is based on what happens, whatever the condition is, the variable when things shift. If you do this for me, I'll do that for you. If I were to update the concept of if faith versus though faith to our present day, we might say, if there are no problems in life, if my bills are paid on time, if I have food on the table, if I find the right job, or if people treat me right, then I will live for God. That's what the if faith says. Then it would say, I'll serve him and make him the Lord of my life if all my conditions are met, then I will believe in him. If all my desires are fulfilled, then I will follow and do what the Lord is asking me. The if faith says, if I like the preacher and the sermon that he preaches, that and if it moves me, then I'll follow and obey God. It says, if I like the church rather than my calling to it, then I'll join the church. This kind of faith is dangerous because it is rooted in work salvation, self-entitlement, speculation, and doubt. Jesus was surrounded by people who had if faith when he was being crucified on the cross. Let us look at our text this morning in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and we'll begin in verse number 32. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if He is the Christ, the chosen one. In verse number 36, the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." If faith is a conditional faith, let us look at what the Bible helps us to understand. Jesus is being crucified, as you know, on an old rugged cross. Jesus says, unconditionally, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He did not put a stipulation of works to their faith and believing in him as the Messiah, as the chosen one. Unconditionally, he demonstrated his love in going to the cross, and we reciprocated his love in essence by hate, by doubt, by being a skeptic and believing that what he says is true. Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. Note the people in verse number 35. It says, "And the people stood looking on." When you're going through a problem in life, there will be folk that will just look on. There will be folk who see the need, but all they would do is just look at you suffer, look at you going through the agony. This is what happened to Jesus. They looked on him and they talked about him. Sometimes, listen, saints, when you are going through what you're going through, you're going to have some people just looking at you, and you're going to have some people talking about you, and they know not what they talk about. They don't have all the information. Sometimes we think we are omniscient and we don't have all the information. God is omniscient. He knew everyone who would call upon his name, and he also knew who would reject him. But his love was still unconditional, even though they had conditional faith. Faithless, if you will. Look at what it is said here in verse number 35. "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." That question, if he's the Christ, if he is the Messiah. Well, what do you say? What is your answer? Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, in verses number 13 through 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Let me ask you the question. Who is Jesus to you? Not to the church. Because the church has a concept of who Jesus is. Not to the people who attend church. Who is Jesus to you? Some people say that he was just an ordinary man. He just did some good works like Confucius, Muhammad, Buddha, just an ordinary man. But then there are some that say that he's actually crazy. There was a book that was written called The Carpenter, where they postulated in the book that Jesus is either he's either a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he's Lord. Who is Jesus to you? Is he just somebody that we talk about on Sunday? Someone that we pray to but don't really understand or even believe that the prayer is actually being heard? Is he just a religious figure in our lives? Or is he the person who through the power of the Holy Spirit walks with us and talks with us and tells us that we are his own, as the song says? Who is Jesus to you? I'm not asking you who is Jesus to your friends. What they say in high school or elementary school or maybe on your job or maybe in college, everybody has an opinion, but everybody's opinion will not hold up when individually we stand before God and we have to answer the question, who is Jesus to us? And what we do now will determine where we spend eternity. What we do with answering that question will determine how we live today. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, let's see what they said. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. You know, some had believed that when John the Baptist had been beheaded, that Jesus was John the Baptist resurrected. Why do you think he's John the Baptist? Because he is doing a similar work. He's preaching repentance. He's preaching turn, and he's preaching about the kingdom of God. Some say that he's John the Baptist because he lived such a sanctified and separated life. Some say that he is Elias, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. It's amazing to me that people who don't believe that Jesus is Lord will somehow believe in reincarnation. He must be Jeremiah. Well, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? one of the other prophets. And so they are believing either in incarnation or they're believing in a resurrection. Now, it's interesting to me that the Sadducees, who would say that same thing, they didn't even believe in the resurrection. That's why we call them Sadducees, because they were sad, you see. There's no hope beyond the grave. If there's no hope for you beyond the grave, it is the saddest life that you live now. But we have a hope that is beyond the grave. Who is Jesus to you? But I love the answer in verse number 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. You are that word that Christ means in the Greek, it means Christ, but in Hebrew, it means Messiah, Mashiach. You are the one that God the Father has sent to save the world. You are the one that the prophets talked about. You're not the prophet. The prophets preached about you. They prophesied about you. You are the one who fulfilled all that the prophets are saying. Amen. Thou art the Christ. And then he says, you are the Son of the living God. I love that when he says the Son of the living God. It tells us that we don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God. If Jesus is somebody to you, if he is Christ, if he is Messiah, you must conclude that God is not dead, and you must conclude that he is God because he lives forevermore. And how does he live? And how shall we then live? We live in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we live by faith. For the scripture says, the just shall live by what? What? Faith. Just shall live by faith. Now, faith is the substance. Watch this. The substance is something that is tangible that I cannot hold. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. No, there's something to faith. In other words, there is something that I cannot see that is evident, that is real, and that has true substance, yes, and meaning. Therefore, it gives me purpose. Without faith, you have no purpose. Without faith, you have no meaning in life. You're just breathing to death. Who is Jesus to you? Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And note what it said. He said he's the Son of the living God. In other words, we don't have nowhere in Scripture that God the Father had a daughter. He is the only begotten of the Father. The Bible says in John that he was full of grace and truth. You are the Messiah. When John was baptizing him, remember the dove came and enlightened himself upon Jesus. And he says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am a little bit pleased." That ain't what the Bible says. He says, "And whom he is what? Well pleased." In other words, he got a report card from his father. And his report card said, "I am well pleased in my son." Because he's the living God. He's the express image of me. Someone said, "Show us the Father and I'll be satisfied." Jesus says, how are you asking me to show you the Father? He that have seen me have seen the Father, the Son of the living God. We are one. The works that we do are one. And if he had a body, he would look just like me. I am the express image of my Father. You say, "Well, what did the Father look like?" He looked like Jesus, whatever Jesus looked like. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of John, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build," notice what he said, "my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I love that. I want to talk about that a little bit because it's interesting to me. I'll give you a little history. Where they were in Caesarea Philippi, they were in a region. Matter of fact, they were somewhere in the vicinity of a place where they worshiped the god called Pan. Now, Pan is, how many of you seen the, what's the name of that movie by C.S. Lewis? Help me out. Narnia, The Chronicles of Narnia, right? Oh, here, we got some C.S. Lewis in the house over here. Who is that? Amen. The Chronicles of Narnia. And one of the characters in Narnia had the half body of a goat. His name was Thomas. Thomas something like that, right? Y'all remember Thomas? But he had the top body of a man. Well, that was the god Pan, and they would go into a region there, and they would go down into what would be like a deep cave, and there they would worship this god Pan, who played the pan flute. I guess it was what it was all about, and they worshiped this god. And so Jesus is standing outside of the temple where they worship, and he's asking his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Y'all know who Pan is. You know who all these other people are, but do you know who I am? People came to worship him there, Pan, in the middle of the night. And it had the connotation of going down into hell. So when Jesus says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail," he had that region in mind. He had that temple and mine. The gates of hell shall not hold me back. It's an offensive term, not a defensive term. He's saying that I'm kicking down hell and I'm snatching out souls that need to be saved. He's called us to join him. But in order to join him, we must understand him and know who he is as Lord of our lives. Yes. The if faith is a conditional faith. If you believe that I am the Son of the living God, if you believe that God the Father have revealed these things to you, if you understand that the gates of hell shall not prevail, what should be your response to these things? I will trust God by faith. I will walk with him by faith. Secondly, the though faith is a positional faith. The though faith is not conditioned on what good things that happen to you or to me in life. It is not based on satisfying a religious activity or the lack thereof. This kind of faith is an unshakable faith. It is a faith that says no matter how difficult the moment, nor how burdensome the task, it is determined not to be moved by the shifting sands of emotion or the stiff stances of do-nothingism. This faith, the though faith, maintains its position based on hope in Jesus Christ, though faith. We look now at the repentant thief and see what kind of faith they had. The repentant thief, one of them, had a though faith. Notice what it says in verse number 40. Let me just go back and read a little bit, and I'll come down. Verse number 38, and an inscription was also written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. If you believe that, what should be your faith? Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself. Verse number 40, but the other, see, the first one had a conditional faith. If you do this, save us. But the other, we want to look at him. Note what it says. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man have done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The repentant thief said to himself, though they gave you the title of a liar or lunatic, he says, I believe that you are Lord. I call you Lord. This man had a though faith because he said, even though they refuse to receive you as Savior of the world, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said in 43 unto him, assuredly I say unto you today, you will be with me in paradise. This man had a though faith which led him to a saving faith. He said, remember me, save my soul, because I'm about to die. Do you know that we are all dying? We don't know the day nor the hour in which we will die. You may be 15, 14, 21, 31, 52, 92. Those who are older think their days are shorter. And God gives them more days than they ask for. Those that are younger think they have their whole life ahead of them and find out that their days may be shorter than what they thought. and they wind up dying at a young age. Nobody thinks that they would die at a young age. But we're seeing it happen all over the world. Children and teenagers are dying because of some evil that has happened. Children, small children. And that's why it's so important to get the message of faith out. We are all dying. We are all fading away. We are all like grass that is being cut down. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord breathes upon it. You look at people and they stand tall, they look strong one day. Then you find that same person in a fetal position and others are caring for them. Don't think that you have all the time in the world to do what God has called you to do. Don't think that you have all the time to believe and accept Jesus Christ. Maybe I'll do it one day. And one day turns into 30 days, and 30 days into 30 years. And 30 years to a funeral. And you have taken all of your gifts and your talents to the grave. All that the Holy Spirit had put into you, you have ceased to use it. Because why? You did not take advantage of the time that you had. You relocated your life to an if faith than a though faith. The though faith is where God is calling a 3600 Bamboo Road. He's calling us to have a though faith. Though I don't understand what Pastor Tony is doing, God is saying, I'm calling you to a though faith. Well, if he does this right, then I'll obey. If he says this right, then I'll follow. If he acts right, according to my standard, that's an if faith. You iffy, shaky, unstable. And God says, I want you to be unmovable. I want you to be rock solid. I want you to understand that you have an anchor to your soul. Yes. He's calling us to a though faith. The thief on the cross had a though faith. For he goes on to implicate that even though they put a crown of thorns on your head, Jesus, I still see you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I see you as the King of the Jews, even though they mock you with the title. I see that you are a king. Note what the thief did. This was the thief who believed, the thief who had the though faith. He said, Lord, remember me. Now you got to understand something. He's answering the question that Jesus asked his disciples. Who do men say that I am? The thief on the cross who was being crucified with Christ says he's Lord. And if he's Lord, that means that he's the master. That means that he is the one that has control over my life. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He dictates to me what I should do, what I should believe, where I should go, and how I am to carry out his will in this earth if he's Lord. The thief on the cross said, hey, this though faith that I have says that Jesus is Lord. He's master. He's the one that's in control. Then he says something else. He said, remember me. Yes, my mama loved the Lord. Yes, my daddy loved the Lord. Yes, my grandfather was a preacher. My great-grandfather was a preacher. All through the generations, God. But what about me, Lord? What about me? He said, Lord, remember me, not my mother. Not my father, not my sister, not my brother, but who? It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in faith, trusting in you, hoping in you, believing and willing to follow you. Yes, it's me, oh Lord. He's answering the question. He says, Lord, remember me. Then he becomes a prophet. I love this part when he says, when? When? Wait a minute, something is wrong with his theology. Because This man is on the cross. Jesus is being hung next to him. They are in the throes of condemnation. They are about to die today. Why are you talking about when he comes into a kingdom? What kingdom are you talking about? The only kingdom that he and you may see is the kingdom of the grave. But he didn't believe that. He becomes a prophet and he believes that Jesus would rise from the dead. When you come into your kingdom, he's the king. A king has a kingdom. So if he believed that he was a king, he also believed that he had a kingdom and he wanted to be a part of it. The question is, do you want to be a part of God's kingdom? See, the kingdom of God includes the church, but it's broader, it's bigger. The kingdom of God thinks about Israel as a nation as well as the body of Christ. The kingdom of God includes all the believers, past, present, and even those in the future. The kingdom. Lord, I want to be a part of your kingdom. The kingdom of God talks about being in obedience to the king, carrying out the edicts of the king, allowing the orders of the king to permeate and to rule over your life. We have a good king, saints, and his kingdom has no end. We have a king who's willing to identify with us. You remember the concept of feudalism when you were in school. Feudalism had on one side the church and on the other side it had the king and his kingdom. And in between that, we had the people, but the people were on one side and then you had the church and then you had the kingdom. Feudalism. And God has caused us to be mediators of his kingdom, to link the people to the King of Kings and the kingdom. We are ambassadors as a church. We are the bridge that brings people over into the kingdom of God. Yes. I see you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Even though your kingdom is not of this world, I have come to believe that it will come. So remember me when you come into your kingdom. And when he said when, he was saying, even though we are about to die, yet I believe that you will rise from the dead. I wonder if you have an if faith or a though faith. And if faith is a double-minded faith that seeks to bargain with God, and if God or the church fails at what I request, then I'm done with it. That's a if faith. It's the kind of faith that destroys marriages and families. If my husband would do this, if my wife would meet my needs, it's the kind of faith that says, if my husband is not meeting my emotional needs, then I'm done with this man. Or if my wife is not meeting my intimacy needs, then I'm done with this woman. Or if my children obey me, then I will show them my love. If faith says, if they keep their grades up, have only the best friends, never talk back, make up their beds, take out the trash, wash the dishes, and don't bring shame on me and my house, then I would love them. That's an if faith. That's an if faith. God is calling us to love our children unconditionally. Am I right about it, saints? But a though faith. Although faith is a determined, sustaining faith that is not easily moved, it is anchored and rooted in true agape love. Job helps us to understand this when he says, though he slay me, yet will I put my trust in him. That's a though faith. David helps us to understand the though faith in Psalms 46 when he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even, watch this, though the earth be moved and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. What he is saying here, he is saying, even though we have problems in life, those problems may be like mountains shaking and shifting, ready to fall down upon us. You have to understand what David is saying. He said, even though we have problems that perplex us, we can still have peace. There is a river. A river whose stream shall make glad the city of God. A glad river, if you will. Water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit is flowing in your life, when it's flowing and you are allowing God to speak to you through his word, when you are walking in obedience to his word, he begins to flow in your life. He begins to bless you and things begin to reach you. And all of a sudden you turn into a glad city and you start to rejoice it. You start to get happy. Why? Because the river is made me glad. God is looking for some dry and thirsty folk who would say, as the brother sang in the song, because I'm so dry and thirsty, I want to chase after God by faith. I want to run after God by faith. Yes. Do you believe it? Do you understand it? Psalms 46 helps us to understand that. And lastly, though faith is a gospel faith, this though faith is the total embodiment of the gospel message that we find in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, have faith in him, should not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This faith, this though faith, is a gospel faith. Jesus had a though faith when he was on the cross. And he had a though faith as he looked up to his Father. He trusted his Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had a though faith. Though he prayed for the cup of suffering to be removed, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He had a though faith when he was walking down the Via Dolorosa, being crucified and beaten and spit on and smacked, prophesied on. Though the cross was heavy to bear and the beating was inhumane, Jesus said, I'm going to keep walking by faith because my children who are yet to believe will be saved. When we go down to the cross, we find that Jesus still had a though faith. Though they nailed him to an old rugged cross, he stayed there, he hung there and said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. He bowed his head and he commended his soul to the Lord. Why? Because he was willing to die for my sins and for your sins, that you might translate and transfigure an if faith to a though faith. When we think about the grave, though they buried him in a borrowed tomb, though they buried him in a borrowed tomb, death couldn't keep him there, because 3 days later, you know the story, that he rose from the grave. He rose with all power in his hand that we might believe the gospel. The gospel being the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I ask you the question again, what kind of faith do you have? Is it a vain faith? Is it a vain faith?
want you to ask me.
Is it a demonic faith? Amen. Is it saving faith? Is it, or is it selfish faith? Selfish faith. What Jesus can do for me. I go to church to get what God got for me, but you got to understand, God says, I want you to come so that you can give what I got to others.
Yes, Lord.
What kind of faith do you have? What kind of faith do you want? Better question. Do you want saving faith? Do you want to know that you're on your way to heaven? Do you want a faith that causes you to follow hard after God? That's a sanctifying faith. What kind of faith do you have? What kind of faith do you have? As we all stand, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Don't wait for your friends to touch you and say, go.